So I have to confess that when it comes to social media, I'm kind of a lurker. So I have like 700 Facebook friends, but most of them are people I've never met. They've like people who have read a book of mine and they, you know, friend me on Facebook and I say yes. And so I'm very careful about, you know, posting a lot of personal stuff out there to all these people that aren't really friends in a meaningful sense, right? So I go on and I, of course, post professional things and go on and sort of observe what everyone else is posting, which is quite fascinating, right? especially because a lot of the Facebook friends I have are clergy, right? They're Episcopal and Lutheran clergy all over the country. And you'd be amazed at some things that clergy posts on their Facebook pages, but I won't go into that. So, but one of the things that strikes me is I, you know, look through all these posts and, you know, updates of, you know, profiles and status and photos and all of this is, you know, Facebook and a lot of other social media are really about curating, right, a kind of sense of the self that we then project to the world. I think social media are new places, relatively new places, to wrestle with old questions like, who am I and where do I belong? Now, those questions, those enduring questions, right, are complicated in today's America. So many structures that used to answer them for us are disintegrating or changing, right? So we live in this world of fluidity, of constant change, of choice, distance, mobility, all of that. And a lot of those enduring settled structures like neighborhood and family, career, they're eroding, shifting, being remade. Social media are ultimately about relationships, and I think there's something to that. So today is Trinity Sunday, the day in the church year and the church calendar when we kind of focus on and celebrate the Christian confession of God as Trinity. So Trinity is just the Christian way of affirming that God exists in relationship, in God's own self, not as a kind of impersonal force or a sort of solitary judge or patriarch up there somewhere in heaven, but as this interdependent community of three persons sharing a common life whose identities are actually defined by their relationships with one another. And our texts for today are about relationships as well. And I want to start with the Gospel of John reading about Nicodemus that we just heard. So Nicodemus is a teacher in the Jewish community, a leader, who's observed some cool stuff happening, right, through Jesus, right? He's had this experience of divine power and presence through Jesus' ministry, right? And he's trying to make sense of it. But in this conversation with Jesus, you can see they're just kind of like missing each other, or at least Nicodemus isn't getting what Jesus is trying to get across. And the reason for that is because he's caught in old ways of seeing, old categories, right? So Jesus says, you have to be born anew or again or from above, another way of translating it, a kind of second birth in which you receive this new identity through water and spirit, right? So he's talking about baptism, okay? Talking about baptism. A spiritual rebirth, which gives us a new identity, right? And in that reality, in that new identity, there's a new world that opens up for us, right? That's what Jesus is talking about. And Nicodemus is just like, what? Like, he's very literal. He's like, how do you get back in your mother's womb? And like, you can see him like thinking about the, you know, biology of this. And he's just like, Jesus, like, what's going on here, right? He's stuck in the old categories, right? The old ways of seeing. And aren't we too sometimes, right? Stuck in the old ways of seeing. So we live in a culture that defines our identity for us in many ways, right? That assigns us value based on, you know, resume, wealth, accomplishments, gender, lightness of skin, body shape, you know, all kinds of things like that. How well we conform to a certain hierarchy that the society has for what makes human life valuable or who is prominent. So think for a minute about social media, right? I mean, we're tempted to post, right, the most flattering pictures of ourselves, right? Pictures of ourselves doing cool things, you know, in cool places, right? And then there's this whole other part of ourselves that we keep buried or quiet, right? But Jesus is actually talking about a deeper identity that transcends the culture's categories. So this is the identity that actually frees us to see the world differently, clearly, as God sees it, right? And Jesus is talking here about the kingdom or reign of God, right? Which is the Bible's way of talking about this God's vision, right, for human life and the reality, the ultimate reality of God's ordering of human life in right relationship. So the kingdom is about relationships, right? Relationships based on gift rather than exchange or transaction, right? Relationships in which all humans have value that they can neither earn nor lose, right? Doesn't depend on your resume. And in which we're invited into a new community, right? Through water and spirit, a new community that is based upon relationships grounded in God's community, the Trinity, right? So what does that actually look like? What does that mean, right? Well, there's a wonderful metaphor in our other reading from the New Testament today, from Paul's letter to the Romans, and this is a metaphor that Paul uses elsewhere in the New Testament as well, for talking about this reality and its adoption. Right, did you catch that word in that? If you look at the reading from Romans. So I spend a fair amount of time traveling around the church, speaking with groups of church leaders. And when I ask them to tell me about their congregation, to describe their congregation, guess what word they use most often to describe their congregation? We're like a family. Yeah. We're like a family, right? And so the interesting thing about that is that I say, well, tell me more. What does that family look like, right? Because so often the family is comprised of intimates who are culturally similar, right? I mean, families are the hardest human systems to enter, to join, right? And often, right, there's no room for the stranger. And some smaller churches particularly, literally, everyone is related. I mean, you know, maybe you've been to those kinds of churches, right? And if you're not part of the family, quite literally, you're never really going to belong, right? So that's not the kind of family that the New Testament is talking about here, right? So from a biblical perspective, the normal family, or we might say even the ultimate family, is an adopted family, right? So in Christ, we're joined to God and to one another across lines, culture, class, blood, all of that. All those things that so often can separate us in society. So this adopted family is comprised of unlike, heterogeneous members joined together into a new community. So I think at the end of the day, if each of us thinks back on what matters most in our lives, if I were to ask you what matters most and gave you some time to think about that, you would probably start telling me about relationships. You know, all the stuff, all the accomplishments, all the resume, you know, you can't take that with you ultimately, right? What ultimately matters is relationships. And I know that for me, there's one relationship that grounds and anchors my identity, and that frees me to be present, in at least most of the time, hopefully, in the other relationships in my life. And that's my relationship with God. So Paul and Jesus both talk about that relationship using very intimate terms, right? Abba, right, is the word that's used here, which is you know, the Bible's way of saying kind of mommy, daddy, right? The most intimate kind of term. So in a culture that says that we need to struggle to define our identity and through our in our community or where we belong through endless consumer choices or accomplishments, in Christ we have a different anchoring, a different foundation. We're claimed, right? We are adopted, cherished, made heirs, Paul says, by God. Not based on getting everything right, but as a sheer gift. Now, like any gift, doesn't mean very much if you don't receive it. So that's what Jesus is talking about in this famous text, John 3:16. God so loved the world, not just the Christians, but the whole world, right? That he gave his own self in Christ to be with us, to suffer with us, to restore us to right relationship with God. Our part is trusting that the ultimate truth about ourselves and the world is that every person is cherished by God, of immeasurable value, and invited into a new community, an expansive adopted family from every tribe and nation. So who am I? Where do I belong, right? These are not easy questions for any age, but we have in Christ the deepest, most life-giving answers to those questions. So one of my preaching professors in seminary, David Bartlett, a couple that he was good friends with, adopted a child who was old enough to know that she was adopted. And the first couple weeks were pretty rough as this child was brought into that family. And the child was pretty resistant to the idea that this couple were going to be, you know, her parents. And so she sort of fought them on this, understandably, right? It's a tough transition. Until one night when, worn out, tired, lonely, they heard a call from her room. Mommy, Daddy. Right? Now that's the call, I think, that God wants to hear from us too. That we have that relationship with God based upon God's choosing us, bringing us into right relationship, adopting us, and in that adoption, we find life. Amen.